This is NHL Radio.
Bob, it's Don LaGreca, Rob Simpson, EJ Raddick. How are you?
Great. I thought you guys were just getting together to celebrate my vacation starting today.
Well, that's going to be part of the festivities, Bob.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, great job yesterday and all the guys up at TSN, and that goes to the producers and all the staff there. I mean, a great job.
That's a fun day. You know what? It's crazy. I looked at Darren Dreger, my colleague on TSN, last night, and it was about 10 o'clock, and we were both absolutely, completely bagged.
Yep.
And I'm looking at each other, and I go, trade deadline's easy. There's actual deadline. This thing it's perpetuity.
It goes on and on.
Going and going and going. And, you know, wake up this morning, and it's Mark Recchi to Boston, and Nick Antipop to Atlanta, and Adrian O'Coin to Phoenix, and that. So, no, it's a remarkable time, and the amount of money that was spent and the kind of makeover the teams went through, some of them, especially the Montreal Canadiens yesterday. It's absolutely remarkable. It's by far, 10 times the impact, really, of trade deadline day. And trade deadline day gets a lot of attention.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Bob, I remember one year, a couple of years back, I don't think I left my office in my house for like 4 days. So, I mean, because you're right. I mean, it just keeps happening over and over and over.
I thought that was because you had no life, EJ.
Well, that's also another factor involved, too. But I think we can leave that for another time, Bob. You are going on vacation.
Exactly.
I guess we got to get right to Danny Heatley. I mean, I just talked about it. My colleague at ESPN, Pierre LeBrun, had a story. He's got quotes from both sides here. And, J.P. Barry is, I think, pretty obnoxious here, ripping Brian Murray right off the bat. I get the sense both these sides should now go to neutral corners. How do you see it?
Well, I don't know what's gonna come of it, to be honest with you. I said this yesterday. I don't know about you, but it reminds me of the old standoffs we used to see, EJ, and it's a different circumstance. It's not a contract dispute per se, but it reminds me so much of the old disputes where a player would try to back his contract demands by basically sitting out. And again, it's a completely different situation, but the mentality is the same. The mentality is Danny Heatley saying, if I don't get what I want, I'm not playing ball with you. You're like, I'll play for you. You don't want me. I don't want to be there. But unless I get kind of pretty much where I want to go, I'm not signing off on this thing. And that's my right. And I'm entitled to it. And then you've got the Ottawa Senators there, sitting there. And I'm sure Eugene Melnyk, I wouldn't even want to imagine where his mindset was at last night, because the first reaction when something like that happens is, okay, fine, I'm going to bury you. And there is, the vengeance factor is huge. And that, but really, at the end of the day, it becomes counterproductive. So it was the same thing in the old days when a team and a player would get into a dispute and the player would be sitting out and it would be getting up on half a season. And everybody says, this is crazy. The player's losing all this money. The team doesn't have a player in the lineup. Why don't they just trade him? That type of thing. And it was always a battle of wills. And now you start to wonder if it might come down to that. And in the old days, the owner always caved. The owner and management always, always, always caved. Bob Goodnow made the players so much money on the premise that if you go to the wall and you're prepared to basically fight to the figurative death, the owners and management will always cave in. And I think that's what Danny Heatley's doing here. I think he's saying to himself, if I just bide my time, I'm eventually going to end up exactly where I want to end up.
Bob, we kind of did this a little bit already, and I'm sure you probably did something along these lines last night. I didn't see it, but your pick one big winner from your standpoint, organization, and then maybe one that you're not so crazy about.
I don't even remember what happened yesterday. It's like the stuff just gets processed.
Remember the Sedin sign yesterday so long
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, you know what? Hey, listen, I think the Calgary Flames did a real nice job of getting Jay Bouwmeester. I think, when you look at the defense that includes Dion Phaneuf, Robin Regier, Jay Bouwmeester, and Corey Sirich is your top four, impressive. And I think, relatively speaking, that you get that group for a shade over $20 million. That's, the Detroit Red Wings, that's the same sort of money the Detroit Red Wings pay their top four guys. So I think the Flames did a nice job there, although when I look at the total package of what the Flames have got, I'm not sure I like the fit and the chemistry up front, in and of themselves. I like, again, Jokinen's got some attributes. And the group they've got there, David Lanko and others, and the support guys like Rene Bork and Greentree and Boyd, if they get him signed. But I don't know if I like the chemistry and the way that it's structured. I don't see a playmaking center that works well with a Ginla, things like that. So, but I really do like the fact that the Calgary Flames were able to add a big piece on defense before the thing even got going. in terms of the question mark or the, I don't want to call them losers, but my God, it's a massive overhaul in Montreal. And they knew they were going to do it, but to actually see it happen on July 1st, you know, no Koivu, no Kovalev, no Tanguay, no Robert Lang to this point, and replaced by Gomez, Gionta, Camilleri. And for a team that always said it wanted to get bigger and bigger in the middle, they didn't achieve that at all. Yeah. And Gomez has got a lot to prove. Gianna's got a lot to prove. These are guys that are coming off seasons that were more than one. Seasons where they've underachieved and they haven't played particularly well. And Camilleri is coming off a good one. But for me, the big thing there is there's a chance they can, from a chemistry point of view, maybe Bob Gainey will just strike upon the right balance. But that's an awfully small team up front and major, major, major upheaval and overhaul. And it usually takes quite a while for a team to come together. So I'm losing Komisarek on defense and replacing him with Spasik and Gill. That one's going to be interesting to watch too. So I think the jury's very much out on whether the Montreal Canadiens got better or whether they just made a bunch of massive changes.
Where do you think Kovalev goes?
Oh boy, good question. You know, I thought early in the day that, you know, even if they added Camilleri and Gomez, that there was a chance that Kovalev would be back. But when they got Gionta and Camilleri, that kind of precluded that. So, I've heard the Los Angeles Kings thrown around. I've heard a number of teams that Alexei Kovalev would be good on. I don't know that I have to see the situation cap-wise in Minnesota. I know Minnesota's waiting on an answer from Saku Koivu there, and they signed Marty Havlat, obviously. But Kovalev is an impactful player. I think Dave Hodge used the line yesterday, if the Montreal Canadiens didn't get Alexei Kovalev back, you could make a case that they lost their best player and they lost their worst player, because at various times last year he was both.
Hey, Bob, let me throw this one at you for Kovalev, and I know they've got their own cap issues in this particular place, but how about on a short-term deal to Pittsburgh if there's nowhere else to go for Kovalev? Because, boy, him playing next to 87 or 71, that could be a dynamic situation.
It really would, absolutely. And, again, it comes back to dollars and what it's gonna cost. But, yeah, there'd be an excellent fit there for sure.
And they could bonus him, right, because this year with the cap, you can go over the number again, right, by that 7.5, because the cap is not that hard cap this year.
Yeah, for the teams that spend to the cap, and that's the key. That whole issue of performance bonus cushion, teams get that back this year. For the entry-level players and the veteran players, 35 or older or chronically injured, who can get personal bonuses, you now just have to account for their base salary, not the bonuses. Well, yeah, actually, you have to account for all of it, but once you go over the cap, you're allowed to overspend the cap by the amount of those personal bonuses. So for teams that do spend to the cap, and they do have entry-level players or veteran players who get personal bonuses, it's like the cap went up about $2 million.
Okay.
Because this is what happens when you have a three-man crew.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Everybody starts staring at each other.
The fly ball dropped right in between the left fielder, the shortstop, and the third baseman.
I just thought you guys were questioning my numbers.
No, never.
I did drift off into cap world, though. I was like,
46 players invited to Team Canada's camp. Anybody jump out at you? Any omissions that jumped out at you?
Well, that's what you're going to in Canada. That's what everybody does. When the list comes out in Canada, whether it's for the World Juniors, the Olympics, the World Championships, whatever, no one ever looks at who's on the list. Well, you look at list very quickly and you say okay, there's the list, who's not on it? Because we all love controversy. The first names are going to pop to mind: Denny Savard in Boston, Jason Spezza in Ottawa, I suppose after the playoffs that he had, Chris Osgood in Detroit. Some people wondered if Steven Stamkos might have, on the basis of one good year or one good half year, might have garnered an invitation, because he was pretty impressive at the World Championships as well, none of those guys are there. Devin Setoguchi was another young player somebody thought might have been there. And some interesting choices. Danny Cleary, obviously with the heavy Detroit Red Wing influence, is appreciated by Mike Babcock, Kenny Holland, and Steve Yzerman. You know, I can pretty much assure you that if those three guys weren't involved with the team, Dan Cleary probably wouldn't get an invitation. But, that's fair, and he earned it. And that's so we'll see where it goes from here. And for those players that aren't invited, I don't think that necessarily. Hey, listen, do I think that Savard or Spets or any of these guys would ever find their way onto the team? No, probably not. Do I think that if they came out, you know, if Jason Spezza came out in October, November, and December and was the NHL's leading scorer and was playing unbelievable hockey for Corey Clouston at both ends of the ice and was taking faceoffs and killing penalties and blocking shots and playing a 200-foot game and was one of the best players in the National Hockey League, would he have to be reconsidered again? Yeah, absolutely, he would. But it's pretty clear that the center roster is pretty deep there. And when you start to look at Getzlaff and Eric Staal and Crosby and
Cavalier, Thornton,
it fills up pretty fast. And In fact, you know, none of those, some of those names I mentioned, Le Cavalier and Thornton, those guys aren't even slam dunks.
Yeah,
they're not. And a lot of it will depend on how they play in the fall and how they do at this evaluation camp.
Bob, real quick, as we're up against it, but the Danny Heatley thing, if that stretches out and he's sitting there, I mean, they paid him $4 million. They may just let him stay home for a couple of months. If he's not playing, I got to think you're going to be hard-pressed to have him on the Canadian Olympic team.
Well, yeah, there is that. I don't know where this is going to go. As I said, the potential for it to get really ugly is there because both sides can get dug in now. But there's also, you know, a lot of different ways you can make things happen. Now, you know, are the Ottawa Senators into him for $4 million they don't want to be? Yes. Does that change the dynamic of what the Ottawa Senators expect to get in return for Danny Heatley? Yes. Can they make it work? Yes. For example, it's a big if, but if Danny Heatley decided a week, a month, or whatever from now, okay, you know what, I will go to Edmonton. There isn't anything else out there for me. I'll go to Edmonton. And that, if you're the Ottawa Senators, you call up the Oilers and you say, okay, same deal, Cogliano, Penner, and Smead, but the difference is you owe us $4 million. We're not paying $4 million of this guy's salary this year, so you're going to get Jason Smith, who's an expendable defenseman for us at $2.5 million. We're going to give you Christoph Schubert, who's an expendable defenseman for us at almost $900,000. You're now taking $3.5 million in contracts away from us that they'd get us back our $4 million on Danny Heatley. And so there are practical ways to solve the solution, to work a solution here. But at the end of the day, Heatley still controls the show because of the no-movement clause. And we'll see where it goes. My two cents on it is this. Danny Heatley, hey, listen, he's not the first or last guy that's requested a trade. He does have a no-movement clause, so he's entitled to exercise that. But having said that, I think I would say to him, you got to look at the reality of the situation. And I don't believe that the San Jose Sharks or the New York Rangers are hepped up over the top interested in getting Danny Heatley on their team to the point where whatever they were offering the Ottawa Senators was even close to fair value. The deal that the Oilers offered is close to fair value under the circumstances for Danny Heatley, and you can't blame the Ottawa Senators for wanting to take it. And I recognize the no-movement clause and the power of it and the power of the player in this situation, but at the end of the day, you got to kind of look at it and say, you know, everybody had a chance to bid on this guy, and they'll dispute this. The Heatley camp will dispute this, but I really don't believe there were very, very many offers on the table from any teams other than the Edmonton Oilers that were even close to being acceptable.
Bob, great job today. Great job all year. Enjoy your vacation. We'll talk to you in September.
All righty. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great summer.
For more podcasts, check out NHL.com. This is NHL Radio.